Chapter 7. When Steve awoke the next morning, the bed was empty. Jarvis informed him that Tony had left already despite the early hour. He didn't have to be a genius to know that was about as explicit a direction as a flashing exit sign. Happy drove him to work in silence, stealing stone-faced glances at him in the rearview mirror. Steve grabbed Bucky's phone from his toolkit over lunch, ignoring the grimace that crossed Bucky's face. At some point over the last few weeks, Clint had swiped Bucky's phone and changed Ms. Romanoff's ringtone to Man-Eater. Steve hadn't been able to figure out how to change it back. Or else he did, and Clint just kept changing it again. He wasn't sure. He thought Clint liked seeing him blush every time the distinctive song rang out through the apartment, or worse, one time in Bucky's toolkit at work. A week dragged by, without hearing the ringtone even once. That pit that had been slowly opening in Steve's belly grew and grew, until finally he was able to call it acceptance. So, okay, that was it then. Whatever this had been, it was over. Tony clearly was done with him. Maybe that last night, something of a goodbye, or whatever it was that Tony needed to get past the desire for Steve that he obviously didn't want to feel. The deep pit of humiliation opened up again every time he thought about it. Why had he expected anything else? It wasn't like he hadn't known what he was getting himself into. He'd just chosen to pretend it wasn't what it was, because that was easier than accepting the truth. Deceiving himself was not something he was usually so willing to do, and it frustrated him to no end that he'd let himself get so deeply entangled here when he should have known better. Even had Bucky pointing the whole sordid thing out to him and still let himself believe there was more to it, because the alternative had been just too crushing to consider. That Tony had only wanted his body, hadn't even wanted to want that. And when he was done with him, that was it. No messy breakup here, kids. Just a fat envelope of bills and a silent apartment. And speaking of bills, there was still the matter of money looming over his head. He had a bit saved up, but had put the deposit down at the private treatment facility for his mom. She had gone through the initial tests and evaluations. He'd talked to the doctors. Everything was set up to move her in. But now he had no idea how he was going to pay for it on an ongoing basis. Why had he thought this would be some kind of long-term arrangement? He should have been planning ahead, picking up more shifts at work or something, instead of spending so much time with Tony. He could call Ms. Romanoff and ask for more work, he knew. The thought turned his stomach, made his gut clench, but it wasn't like there were a ton of options if he wanted to get his mom moved. The thought of leaving her at the state institution in that room with the moldy, cracked ceiling tiles and stink of urine and God knows what, getting perfunctory care that seemed to involve turning her to ensure she didn't develop bed sores and adjusting her feeding tube. He couldn't do that. Not if there was any alternative. So, he was basically back to where he'd been the night he'd met Tony. Except now he knew exactly what he was getting himself into. Not some vague, hazy notion of what was involved. If he did this again, he couldn't tell himself later that he hadn't known. Not this time. It was probably better this way, though, he thought. He certainly wouldn't make the same mistake he had with Tony, getting way too attached, and letting himself think there was more to it than there was. This was just a trade. Something they wanted for something he wanted. Period. He picked up Bucky's phone and dialed Ms. Romanoff's number. She picked up after a couple of rings, her voice smooth as always. "Hello, Steve," she said. "How are you?" Okay, so it was harder to actually say out loud than it had been in his head. "I'm fine, I guess, but, well, I wanted to ask about maybe some additional work." He could feel the flesh heating his cheeks as he said it. There was a pregnant pause, and he held the phone away to make sure the call was still connected. "Is there a problem with Stark?" she asked with false casualness. And here it was. He hasn't wanted me to come out, for a week now," Steve finished. "And God, that hurt to say." "Really? Well, that's interesting," she replied. Interesting was not the word Steve would have used, but whatever. He just wanted this conversation over. "I just assumed you were still seeing him," she continued. "No. No, not anymore," Steve said, trying to keep the disappointment out of his voice. "Hmm," she said noncommittally. "See, that's a little odd to hear, Steve, because Stark has paid for this past week already. I was wondering when you would stop by to pick up your envelope. In fact, I believe he's booked you for, well, let's just say the foreseeable future, shall we?" "What?" Steve stammered, stunned. But he hasn't wanted me to come. I mean, not since last week." "Well," Ms. Romanoff replied slowly, stretching out the word, "I don't know about him not wanting you, but he certainly doesn't want anyone else to have you either." Steve swallowed at that. What was going on? Why would Tony do that? If he wants to pay to keep you off the market, that's not technically against the rules, but, well, if Stark wants something more exclusive, then that could be arranged. "It's unusual, but not unheard of. Lucrative," she said with a hint of speculation. He could practically hear the wheel spinning in Ms. Romanov's head. "I need to talk to him," Steve said firmly. I think there may have been a misunderstanding, but, I mean, he always sent a car, and, well, I don't really have a way to get up there, or even know if he'd let me in if I did," Steve thought. Another pause followed, and Steve heard the sounds of a keyboard tapping in the background. "Stark will be at the Symphony Benefit downtown tonight. I can't get you into that, of course, but one of my guys works valet there. He can get you into the garage. The bigwigs go in and out from the kitchen area instead of walking the press gauntlet. You might be able to meet up with him there." "Thank you. Thanks, I..." Steve started. But she had already hung up. He stared down at the phone, as if it held any answers to all of this, and felt a fluttering in his stomach at the thought of seeing Tony again. This might end very badly. He could just let this go, take the money, and figure something out in the meantime. But he wanted to see Tony, get some kind of answers. If Tony only cared about the sex, then why pay for nights when Steve wasn't even out there? Why would he care whether Steve had other clients or not? What he needed was a plan. Hours later, as he followed the guy, Mike, through the bowels of the underground parking garage to the area where the chauffeured vehicles were parked, he still needed a plan. At least one that went beyond show up and see Tony. The pit of nervousness that had been stewing in his stomach all day seemed to dig in deeper the closer he got. He recognized the sleek lines of Tony's limo with the now familiar Stark designation on the tag. "Good luck, man," Mike said, clapping him on the back a couple times and heading back to the valet stand. Steve approached the car, unsure of what to do in the meantime. He could see Happy's silhouette in the front seat, reading the sports page and drinking out of a thermos with the window rolled down. It was probably not a good idea to sneak up on Happy. He was, at least nominally, Tony's bodyguard. Steve cleared his throat loudly, watching the paper in Happy's hand snap down as he turned around. "Hi, Happy. I know what this looks like, but I just need to talk to him. I swear I won't take up much of his time," Steve tried to explain. To Steve's surprise, he saw Happy's face harden into an angry mask. He'd thought Happy liked him, at least liked him all right. I mean, they hadn't been friends or anything, but Happy had always been pleasantly jovial during their car rides. "You shouldn't be here. You need to leave him alone, Steve," Happy said, stepping out of the limo. He doesn't need this. And okay, that hurt. He understood Happy was looking out for his boss, but he couldn't escape the guilt he felt at the judgment evident in Happy's tone. But he'd come all this way, unless Happy planned to have him thrown out, which, now that he thought about it, was a definite possibility. He wasn't leaving without seeing Tony. Steve took a deep breath. Please, Happy. I just need to tell him. Just please. I won't. If he tells me to leave, then that's it. I won't bother him. I swear. You won't bother him? Happy asked incredulously. Do you have any idea what you've done to... Happy's voice cut off as his eyes flicked over Steve's shoulder and then snapped back to Steve with a hard glare. Steve? He heard Tony's startled voice from behind him. What are you doing here? Steve turned to see Tony standing behind him, a small phone held in his hand where he'd obviously been tapping out a message, now forgotten. Steve felt his throat go dry as his gaze raked over Tony. He hadn't realized how much he had just missed seeing him. Of course, Tony looked amazing. He always did, but the tuxedo Tony was wearing made Steve think of the night they'd met, and images came to his mind unbidden. He heard a car door slam loudly behind him and turned briefly to see Happy ensconced in the driver's seat. Now that Tony was standing in front of him, he actually wasn't sure what to say. Why are you paying for something you aren't getting? Does any of this mean anything at all to you? Can you please not think that about me? He watched Tony's face shut down and knew he'd already lost. Well then, he supposed it didn't really matter what he said. Tony brushed past him without a word and opened the door to the limo. He stopped with one hand braced on the door and the other gripping the edge of the limo's roof, back to Steve. Why are you here, Steve? He asked, voice coming out resigned and heavy with an odd sadness. Steve didn't know what to make of that, but it was something. Ms. Romanoff, she told me about the money, Steve managed, stumbling over his words because none of them sounded right. The money, of course, Tony said flatly, his face blank and unreadable. Not enough for you? Tony asked, his voice brittle and clipped. What? No, nothing like that. Steve started. Tony turned around from his position at the limo and opened his mouth to say something, but his words were cut off by a loud shout from across the parking garage. Stark! Well, isn't that the sight? Hammer called out. Still taking home my leftovers, I see. Steve swallowed numbly and felt something prick at the back of his eyes. He ducked his head, unable to look at Tony. You missed a hell of an after party, gorgeous, Hammer continued as he walked to what was presumably his car. I'd say maybe next time, but I'm a bit more particular than Stark there. Don't much care for someone else's leavings myself, Hammer crowed delightedly. Steve closed his eyes and held them that way, taking in a deep breath, then forcing himself to meet Tony's gaze. I'll go, he said, turning to leave. Get in car, Steve, Tony ordered, voice brusque. Steve's head snapped up, and for a moment he felt giddy. It had worked, this terrible plan of his. Somehow it had actually worked. Happy, we need to drop Steve at his place on the way home, Tony finished. And Steve felt his stomach drop as a huge crush of disappointment and humiliation washed over him. Tony's simple words managing to sting far worse than Hammer's pointed barbs. Okay, then. So, okay. This was done, then. He just had to accept that. Whatever Tony was about with the money, it didn't mean anything. Probably just Tony's sense of politeness or something. Steve knew he should probably refuse the ride and just walk to the bus stop, but he couldn't have given up these last few moments with Tony for anything. He crawled into the car without looking up and sank back into the seat. To his surprise, Tony slammed the limo door shut without getting in and walked over to where Hammer was about to get into his own car. Steve couldn't see what was going on with the concrete pylon or hear anything from inside the limo, but that didn't stop his imagination from running wild with the possibilities. Probably something along the lines of, "Dodged a bullet with that one, Hammer. Too clingy by half," Steve imagined bitterly. A few minutes later, the limo door popped open and Tony climbed inside. "Let's go, Happy," he said, voice tight and tense. The ride to Steve's place was utterly silent. There was nothing else to say, really. At least this would let him move on, he thought. "Listen to him," he grimaced. "Move on." As if this had been something to move on from. Bucky had been right about the whole thing. At least with Tony's generosity, he had some time to get things together and decide what to do. Obviously, it wasn't indefinite, whatever Ms. Romanoff meant by the foreseeable future, but it would hopefully give him at least a couple of weeks. He didn't think he could handle thinking about that tonight. The car stopped in front of the building housing Bucky and Clint's apartment, and Steve got out without waiting for anything further. His foot was on the second step when he heard the other door open as Tony stepped out. "Steve," Tony started, as the front door banged open and Bucky came ambling out with a cigarette in one hand and lighter flicking in the other. He stopped and stared at Steve, heading into the apartment building, and Steve knew what his face must look like. He'd never had much of a poker face, and Bucky could read him like a book. "Son of a bitch," Bucky said, eyes piercing holes into Tony as he stuffed the cigarette and lighter into his pockets. Tony, for his part, was looking back and forth between Steve and Bucky, and Steve saw his jaw clench and eyes grow hard, mouth twisting into something that was supposed to be a smile, but looked anything but mirthful. "Let me guess, you must be Bucky," Tony said, his voice clipped with some strange, false, friendly tone that Steve had never heard from him before. "Stark," Bucky acknowledged, in a way that clearly meant asshole. Steve looked back and forth between them. Both seemed to be watching the other too intently to pay much attention to him, so he shook his head at the whole ridiculous scene and started up the stairs again. To his surprise, when he reached the top step, Bucky threw an arm over his shoulder, rubbed his shoulders in an almost hug, and grinned a devilish smile. "Good to have you back," Bucky fairly chortled. "Well, this has been fun, hasn't it, Stark? But it's time to get Stevie here upstairs. He just looks like he needs to be in bed, don't you think? Night, Stark. Have a fantastic evening. I know I will." And he winked. Steve was about to say something reproachful to Bucky for just being rude and, well, weird, when Tony's voice cut the words out of his mouth. "Happy will pick you up tomorrow at 7. Tony bit out in a hard voice that didn't seem to leave any room for argument, still staring up at Bucky on the top of the landing. Steve's head snapped around. Sure, he hadn't heard correctly, but Tony was already lowering himself into the limo and slamming the door. He looked to Bucky in confusion, but Bucky was grinning gleefully. He turned to Steve with a wry smile, pulling him inside the building's front doors as the limo sped off. "You know," he started, scrunching his face and tapping his chin with one finger, pitching his voice in an exaggerated fashion as if he was pondering something. "You know, it's possible I was wrong when I said Stark didn't have real feelings for you." "What? What are you talking about? Because he asked me to come back, all of a sudden you think he has feelings? That makes no sense," Steve said, shaking his head. "Steve, you're adorable." "Clueless sometimes, but adorable," Bucky said fondly, using his arm around Steve's shoulders to steer him into the building. "That man," Bucky sighed dramatically, "that man is so jealous he can't think straight." And if looks could kill, there'd be a big Bucky-shaped crater right here on the doorstep, Bucky said with a smile. I almost feel badly for him. Granted, he's still an asshole, but even I have a soul. Well, somewhere deep down. Anyway, the point is that somehow Stark got the notion that you and I were maybe a little more than friends. And he did not like that at all. Like, at all, at all. Wait, what? No, why would he? It makes no sense. Wait, you... Steve shrugged Bucky's arm off his shoulders. Bucky, you did that on purpose to try to... What, test your theory? Ah, come on, he had that coming, Bucky said without a trace of guilt. Got you invited back, didn't I? Don't say I never do anything for you. Are you sure? I mean, really sure, because he never said... I mean, why would he even think? Steve trailed off, trying not to get his hopes up again. He didn't think he could take much more disappointment. Dude, he couldn't have been more obvious if he peed a circle around you, Bucky laughed. Bucky! Steve frowned at the crudeness. I'm just saying, the guy's totally into you. Thought he was going to rip my arm off you and beat me with it. He's so wound up about this, it would be funny if it were anyone else but you. I mean, sorry about that part, man. Bucky shrugged, patting him slowly on the back with a cartoonishly apologetic expression on his face. Gotta give him some credit for sheer balls of steel to invite you over right in front of me, though. I mean, considering. If I were banging you, I'd be highly offended, Bucky said with mock grimness. He's going to have the absolute fucking shittiest night, though, the poor bastard, Bucky laughed, grinning widely now, shaking his head back and forth. I, on the other hand, am going to sleep like a baby. He clapped Steve on the arm and headed upstairs, leaving Steve standing in the vestibule, feeling utterly flabbergasted by the emotional up and down of the whole evening. Tony was jealous? Of Bucky? That made no sense. Why? Where in the world would he even get such an idea about Bucky? Because of the stories Steve told? I think that's enough storytelling, he recalled, remembering Tony's voice, harsh and cold. Maybe. It still didn't make sense, Steve thought, shaking his head. But Bucky sure seemed certain of it. And he'd always been far better at reading people as far as anything remotely like that would go. And it was such a tempting thing to believe. Steve turned the idea over in his mind. Tony was jealous of Bucky. Tony was jealous. If Bucky was right, Tony did care. It hadn't all been in Steve's head. Tony thought he was just doing this for the money, and had someone else he actually cared about at home. But Tony still wanted him, even knowing that. That was... Well, Steve didn't know what that was, but it sure as hell wasn't indifference. He could work with that. Chapter 8. Interlude. Tony's point of view of discussion with Hammer, who is an even bigger douche. Stark! Well, 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 isn't that the sight? Hammer called out. Still taking home my leftovers, I see. Tony watched Steve's shoulders slump and head dip down, saw the deep red flush creep across his cheeks, evidence of how Hammer's words made him feel. You missed a hell of an after-party, gorgeous, Hammer continued, as he walked to what was presumably his car. I'd say maybe next time, but I'm a bit more particular than Stark there. Don't much care for someone else's leavings myself, Hammer crowed delightedly. Tony stared across the parking garage at Hammer. After party? A fucking after party? What the hell had Romanov been thinking, sending someone like Steve off with Hammer? He'd had about all he could take of this. The thought of Hammer with his hands on Steve was bad enough, but the knowledge that the guy had planned on involving Steve in something like that, well, really, let's face it, that was it. Tony felt his head pound with restrained rage, thought he was going to absolutely explode if he didn't hit something, preferably Hammer's smug face. "I'll go," he heard Steve say, his words echoing in the parking garage, reeking of such shame and humiliation to make Tony's gut twist. "Get in car, Steve," Tony ordered, and heard the way his voice was shaking with anger now. "Happy, we'll need to drop Steve at his place on the way home." Much as he wanted to just plain beg Steve to stay with him again, it was pointless. Steve had someone to go home to already. He did not need Tony, at least not for that, not the all-consuming way Tony needed him. He needed Tony's wallet, which Tony had already arranged to give him. If Steve wanted to keep doing this, that was his choice and Tony couldn't stop him. But God damn it all to hell if Steve was going to do this because he felt he had to. He took a long, steadying breath. Do not lose it in front of Steve. Don't look at him. God, if I look at him. He knew if he saw what Hammer's words were doing to Steve, he'd go ballistic. He could not afford to let Steve see that, to reveal that much about how he felt. Not when he knew that Steve wasn't really his to begin with, he thought bitterly. He should have known. And of course Steve had someone. Beautiful, wonderful, kind, funny Steve, who let Tony fuck him for money. That had been enough for Tony, if that was all he could have. He could pretend that it was something more. That Steve didn't go home and have this life where Tony was just a job for him. Better than some, worse than others, he supposed. But once he knew, he couldn't pretend anymore. Tony was just selfish enough not to let it stop him. Wanted one more night with Steve. But then he'd ask for that little bit more. Ask Steve to stay. Stupid. Stay with him and not go back to... well, not go back. Happy had said that the... guy, Bucky, hadn't wanted Steve to go, and of course not. Could you blame him? Hell, Tony'd wanted to bar the door the next morning. Hammer smirked as Tony slowly walked over. Stark? Hey, look, man, like I said, I like him fresh. Why, I picked that one all sparkly and new. But, and I don't usually do this, but if you want to share, I gotta tell you, I'd be down with that. Bet he'd look pretty down on all fours, Hammer said, raising an eyebrow and peering around Tony's shoulder, searching for Steve. If he hit him, it would be immediately satisfying, true, but Tony was always more about the long game. Split the fee, Hammer proposed. On the other hand, it really didn't have to be an either-or situation, he thought, a moment before his fist smashed into Hammer's face with a satisfying crunch.
Oh my God, you broke my nose!
Hammer stuttered from the ground, blood pouring down his face.
What the fuck, man?
Justin. Years from now, when you look back on your life and the utter and complete ruin it has become, I want to give you the gift of knowing exactly the moment when it all started to go wrong for you. Tony said, his voice even and unflinching. It started the moment you referred to him as leftovers. With that, Tony turned and walked back to the limo, leaving Hammer with his mouth gaping open stupidly. He got in the limo and slammed the door, resolutely not looking at Steve, who he was about to deliver to the other man who loved him.